Can you hear me now? Hallelujah. It's going to be kind of exciting. I can't wait, so this way I'll never be late with my tithe. I can put it in ahead of time every week, bi-monthly, whatever it is, once a month, and it will come and go right into the account. The great thing about it is the people who do counting the money and do all the entering of data, it will automatically go into our QuickBooks program. So it saves a lot of time. And eventually, I do everything online. Anybody else? I pay every bill I have, mortgages, everything's just done online. And it makes it a lot easier. Let's pray one more time tonight. Father, we want to thank you as we look into the Word of God tonight. Father, be with those that are not here tonight. And Father, those who listen by the way of the web, we pray that the blessing of the Lord would be strong upon them. And we ask in Jesus' name. I'm just going to talk about a real basic word tonight before we go. Leave for India tomorrow. I'm going to talk about aggressive receiving. Aggressive receiving. Would you say aggressive receiving? Amen. I want to challenge you to believe God. Because without the exercising of your faith, you're just religious. The scripture says that the just live by faith. So we are people of faith. And not only are we saved by faith, but we live by faith. Amen. So that's really important that we always understand the concept of faith and that we're always moving in faith. I heard the story of this nun who, she worked for this home health agency, and she would always make her rounds and visit homes and things like that. And so as it happened one day, she ran out of gas. But just like an eighth of a mile from where she ran out of gas, she saw a gas station. So she decided to go to the gas station and see if she could borrow, a tank, a gas tank to replenish her gas. And when she got there, the owner said, we just lent out our only gas tank, our gas can, excuse me. And so he said, but I'll go look around the shop and maybe we can find something. So after about 10 minutes, she said, I'm going to go back to the car. Maybe I have something in the car. And so she looked all through the car and finally she saw a bedpan that she was going to deliver to somebody's house. So she walks back to the gas station, fills it up with gas, goes back to her car, and she takes the cap off, and she's dumping the bedpan with gas into her car. And about the same time, two men walk by, and one said to the other, now that's what I call real faith. And so we're going to read tonight from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And I believe that Mark's Gospel records this awesome example of the law of faith. You know, the Bible says that it's the law of faith, the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and the law of faith has set us free from the law of sin and death. Amen? So we're going to read from Mark chapter 5. Do you guys have an overhead up there for me? There you go. Okay. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for about 12 years. She had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. King James says the hem of his garment. For she said, can somebody say for she said? For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Verse 29 says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power or anointing had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, don't you see the multitudes thronging you? And you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. The King James says, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. You know, the Lord Jesus felt this flow of virtue come out of him. And he turned around in verse 30 and said, who touched my clothes? You know, the Bible says, his disciples were amazed. They were kind of amazed because the crowds were there. And some people think that Jesus just said a rhetorical question like, who touched my clothes? Now, rhetorical question is that you really know the answer, but you ask it anyways. But there was something different about the touch of this woman. When she touched Jesus, she touched him in faith, and instantly the power and the anointing of God flowed and she was healed. I'm going to say a couple things tonight as we look a little bit deeper into this, because we're talking about faith, amen? We need to always be feeding our faith. And so some people believe, and many people believe, that as God, Jesus knew all things. Even though Jesus was totally God in his spirit, listen to me tonight, he lived in a physical body as a man. He had that dualistic nature. He was the God-man. We use terms like Emmanuel. Amen? Come on. The Bible says that God was in Christ. Jesus said to Philip, if you see me, you see the Father, for it's the Father in me that does these works. Even though Jesus had a physical body, it was a sinless physical body. And I just want to say this tonight, just to throw it out there, because some things will make sense to you. Jesus didn't know all things in his human mind. Think about it. He had these five natural senses like you do and I do. And Jesus had to receive from the Father the same way you receive from the Father. Where is the Father in you? The kingdom of God is not far away. It's not a meat or drink. The kingdom of God is within us, amen? When I cry out to God, by the way, he lives in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. 1 Corinthians 16 says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't pray to some far away guy. I pray to the most nigh God. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And so we need to develop that awareness, that consciousness, that God is always with us. The scripture says those who are joined to the Lord are one spirit. We are inexplicably linked to him. As he is, so are we, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Can I get an amen? And so God doesn't live in outer space. He leads us through the inward witness, the voice of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to our spirit. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. One modern version says it's the flashlight of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of our being. Hallelujah. He's with me. I'm getting ready to go to India. I'm not worried about God being there before I get there because he's going with me, even though he's already there. You know, the Bible says that the heavens and the heavens of heavens cannot contain God, but yet he lives in you and he lives in me. What a wonderful miracle. You know, Luke 2:52 says this, and Jesus increased. Somebody say increased. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. I think this is a really significant point to make tonight. If Jesus didn't know who touched him, how did the healing virtue of God, the anointing of God, flow through him and to her and affect the cure in this woman? Jesus grew in wisdom. How do you grow in wisdom? Wisdom is really knowledge that's applied through experience. So Jesus, in his natural person as a human being, he grew in wisdom. He grew in understanding. Amen? Now, his spirit was God. God was in Christ. But the natural person of him was born in a manger. Come on. Grew up. We know about his life and when he was 12 years old and all these natural things that he grew. You know, the Bible says that Satan came and tempted Jesus in every point possible, and yet he never succumbed to sin. Hallelujah. And so he grew in wisdom in his natural person. He grew in stature, and he had favor with God and favor with man. You know, many people think that when they come before God for a prayer request or they need something, that God kind of sizes them up and down. Depending on how much you prayed that day or how much you've studied the word or how often you fasted, and if you've been living a holy life or a multitude of other things, people think that God hears their prayers based on those things. You've heard me talk about the pressure of performance ministry. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't have to perform any longer for God to love me, even to hear my prayers. You know, when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, God loved me and God heard my prayer. You don't clean yourself up to come to God. You come to God and he cleans you up. Hallelujah. But that's not what happened here with this woman. She didn't go through a lot of religious exercises. She didn't do it at all. That's not what happened with her. But she put into motion the law of faith. And when she put into motion the law of faith, the power of God was manifested in a supernatural way. She had come, there's an old hymn that says, when we come to the end of our hoarded resources, God's grace starts giving and giving and giving again. That's my testimony. Anybody else here tonight? And the scripture says this, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You know, I believe it, you know how we believe around here and what I say all the time, that one of the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is you have to say something. It's really important. You remember what the scripture says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit? Come on, how many know that one? Be filled with the Spirit. The first thing it says, speaking. Every time in the book of Acts, when a miracle takes place, somebody was speaking or preaching or teaching the Word of God. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, ministering with grace in your heart unto the Lord. And so its words are really important. You remember the old scripture, Mark 11, 23, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, it shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I love this verse because it's about whosoever and whatsoever. Whosoever and whatsoever, amen? You know, I found out that you cannot even walk with God unless you agree with God. There's nobody in heaven who doesn't agree with God. There's nobody moving in the present truth. There's nobody living in the blessing and the anointing and the goodness of God who doesn't agree with God. Amen? And so on your little sheet there, I put this word called earnest action. And action is another law of faith. You have to act on what you believe. That's really important. I'm going to kind of sum it up at the end, these couple different points. This woman acted on her faith. James 2:20 says that without works, your faith is dead. One version says, without corresponding actions to what you believe, your faith is dead faith. There's a difference between mentally assenting to the truth and having faith that produces action in your life. You say you have faith. Let me see your faith by the way you live. Not just your words, but the corresponding actions to what you say you believe. Speaking words is easy. Having corresponding actions is a whole nother realm. Amen? And so what's interesting here is this, that this woman didn't just speak about being healed. She acted on her faith, even at the point of great personal risk. I don't know if you understand what was going on historically, but in that day, anyone who had an issue of blood was considered unclean biblically. They, by the law, they were commanded to stay away from crowds, away from individuals, because if she touched you, then you became unclean. Matter of fact, under the law, if a woman like that had come into a crowd of people and they knew about it, she legally could be stoned to death. In fact, many times when they would come into a crowd, they would yell out so they would not be stoned, unclean, unclean, unclean. And so she was a person who was known, believe me. That woman could have been stoned to death if the multitude had known her secret. You know, I believe that the only logical explanation for her touching the hem of Jesus' garment is that she probably was on her hands and knees, crawling through a crowd, desperate for a touch from God. You ever been that desperate? I need a touch from God. You'll do anything. There's like an earnest anticipation, a conscious movement of action towards God. It's just not mentally assenting. It's just I'm not acknowledging in your five natural senses. You're moving. You're doing something. I believe that what she did illustrates the law of faith, her earnestness. And by the way, I don't believe that you can receive from God passively. You got to seek him. You got to call upon his name. The scripture says there in Jeremiah, put on your sheet, 29, verse 13, and ye shall seek me And ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. If you go down there a little bit earlier, it talks about, the scripture says, I know the plans that I have for you. Come on. Plans of peace, plans to prosper you, plans that have an end, an expected end. You know, when the word of the Lord came that day, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Israel was in Babylon. These guys devastated the city, burned the temple. Every stone was burned and plowed under. They were taken into captivity. They lost their hope, their place of worship in God. But now the word of the Lord came to them in the midst of that bad situation. If you seek me, can I tell you something? Wherever you are tonight, no matter what you're going through, if you seek God, you'll find him. Don't allow your circumstance and situation to dictate your future. You need to stop that stuff. Stop agreeing with your circumstances. Stop talking negative. Don't ever say, I'm a doubting Thomas. Don't ever talk like that. Quoting Psalms 116, Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. We believe, therefore we speak. It is important that as you grow in your faith, that you say the same thing the word says. Amen? Really important. That's Christianity 101. Really? You ought to hear some of the conversations I'm involved with people. I feel like leading them to Christ again. You know, as long as you can live without healing, you will. There's some work to being healed. You know, God sometimes supernaturally just heals you through a manifestation of the gifts. Other times as we grow, we have to just put our faith in what God's word says. Can I tell you, I believe that's the best way. I have never had an angel visit me that I know of. I mean, I told you the story one time when I was going to a prison and one came, but I didn't even know it was an angel. I mean, I've read stories of people where Jesus sits on the edge of the bed and opens the scriptures to him. It doesn't happen to me. The only vision I've ever had was of a Big Mac, and that's on the ninth day of a water fast. I'm the kind of person, I just believe what God says. I find out what he says, and I say yay and amen to it. And I find that it works in my life. I remember as a young Christian struggling financially, and I got this belief that I'm always going to live by faith when it comes to finances. You just get used to living like that. It's not a hard way to live. Remember the loaves from Sunday? Once you continually remind yourself of what God hath already done, it will sustain you, it will encourage you, it will feed your faith, it will sustain you. It so bothered me when I thought about the miracles they had just received. It says they consider not the miracle of the loaves. You know, I believe that when you get aggressive like this woman, you start to take some risks. You know, I don't want to be a dry boat rider. I want to be a wet water walker. You know, often we talk about Peter, how we got out of the boat and it says, people say, oh, Peter sank. No, it doesn't say he sank. It says he began to sink. I don't think Jesus came out and grabbed him. They did a piggyback back to the boat. I believe when he cried out to God that Jesus was right there, I believe he put his hand in the hand of the man from Galilee and his faith was quickened and they walked back into victory. You know, the real issue is, what about the other 11 guys who were sitting in the boat? Had no faith, no confidence, they had seen the same miracles. But at least with Peter, he cast his bread upon the water. And he got out of that boat and he walked on the water. The scripture says he walked on the water. Then he began the same, but he did walk on the water. I heard the story of this, a priest, an evangelist, and a minister. And they all decided to go fishing just to build some relationships. So they're in this pond. And after about a half hour or so, the evangelist said, you know, I need to go to the bathroom. So he steps out of the boat and he just starts to walk right on the water. Both guys are looking, I'm like, about 10 minutes later, the evangelist comes back, gets in the boat. Finally, the minister says, the pastor says, you know what? I got to go to the bathroom. So he gets out of the boat, and he walks on the water, right up into the shore, goes to the bathroom, walks back on the water, gets in the boat. Well, the priest is feeling a little self-conscious, so he decides he's got to go to the bathroom, so he's going to walk on the water. So he gets out, goes to walk on the water, and he sinks right over his head. The evangelist says to the pastor, you think we should have told him where the stones were? And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I do believe it takes an aggressive attitude to effectively receive from God. I can remember when I was in a dire situation, and I decided I just would go without food. You see, fasting doesn't change God's mind. It changes you. It makes you more sensitive to God. And I really needed to hear from God. And it was the biggest crisis I had had in my walk with God up to that time, and it concerned my daughter. And when she was born at home, and my wife hadn't passed the placenta yet. And I understood medically that people bleed to death. They hemorrhage to death from that. And so I'm just a 22-year-old guy, whatever I was, and I didn't know that my wife was, you know, she had been through medical school. She really knew the complications more than I did. And so she was concerned about it, and I laid hands on her, and I prayed for her, and we had a prayer room. So I went in, and I cried out to God for most of the night. I laid on a wooden floor like this, and I cried to God. And finally, I get up in the morning. I said to my wife, I think I should call this prophet who I know in California. I feel God says he has the answer to what I need to do next. Now, we're talking now 15, 18 hours, and she still had the placenta. So I go on my phone. I call this prophet in California. I told him my situation. He says, I do have the answer, young man. And they're, praise God. What is it? He said, trust God. He hung the phone up. But also in the revelation of that hit me. I went back into my wife, and she said, what did he say? I said, he said, we should trust God. So I prayed over her again and called the thing that was not as though it was, and just shortly after, everything was fine. I have a 39-year-old daughter as a result of that day. 38, she doesn't want to be older than she is. But my point of it was I got kind of aggressive. I was desperate. I needed to hear from God. It really depends on how desperate. You know, Charles Finney said that God doesn't hear prayer. He hears desperate prayer. When you lay aside every weight, every sin, every problem, every circumstance, and you just press into God. You don't seek his hand, you seek his face. Amen? And so I believe it takes that type of aggressive attitude to really receive a miracle from God. You know, I think this woman put a number of the laws of faith in operation concerning her situation. You know, the Lord isn't healing one person and refusing another person. I said earlier that we come under the condemnation of performance. I could say, how many believe that God could heal the blind eye? Oh, yes. Bring a person who's blind up here, say, now you pray for him. All of a sudden, the thing comes in your mind, I didn't pray that much. I kicked the cat. You know, whatever it might be that you do, immediately we come under the pressure of thinking that we can find favor with God because of what we do and we don't do. You know how I feel that when you sin, you open the door up to the devil. He'll come in, eat your lunch, and pop the bag. But I believe that even when I'm in sin, I can turn to God. I can confess my sins. He's faithful and just. He will forgive me. He will cleanse me. I don't get born again. What happens, it renews my sense of God. Amen? I believe that the sacrifice of praise enters gates with thanksgiving, commits courts with praise. I believe that when we move into a realm of worship, it creates a God awareness in us. That's where I find in my own life. When I don't know what to do, I start to worship. I start to sing. I start to worship. I start to read the Psalms that are full with expressions of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. When I do that, I can find God. When I tell God about my problems, I get up, nothing's changed. He knows about my problem. He doesn't sit up there and say, Ernie, I want to personally thank you. I was not aware of that situation and circumstance that was happening in your life. But now that you have informed me, if I get time, I'll work on it. If you just pray a little bit more, everything will be fine. No, it doesn't work that way. So the Lord isn't healing one person, refusing another. There are particular laws that govern how the Spirit of God moves. Amen? You know, you can violate those laws and you can miss out on the blessing of God that he's already given to us in Christ. Or you can learn the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and you can learn to cooperate them and you can experience the abundant life that he has already provided for us in Christ. It's really up to us. Hallelujah. So, on your point four there tonight, receiving from God isn't about how he feels towards you. That's really a big thing. I know people would say mentally, I agree with that. Praise the Lord, I just agree with that situation. But when you're in problems, or if you do sin, or if you do fall short, you'll find that often we come under that pressure, that mindset that I'm not good enough. No, the truth is you're not. But Christ in you justified you. And Colossians 1 says that the blood of Jesus qualified you. Ephesians 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus accepted me into the beloved. Hallelujah. And so I think that God wants to touch each and every one of us in a supernatural way. But these laws that must be put into effect by faith are really important. You can learn and understand the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or you can misuse those laws. And if it does, you can love Jesus and go to heaven early. Amen? I think there are people who die prematurely in God. Because it's not all just up to God. We are co-laborers together with them. There's laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We need to find out what the Word says and then move by faith into those laws and we'll receive. I meet many Christians who love Jesus Christ who live way beneath the price Christ paid for their freedom. You know, I think receiving from God is not a personal thing. You know, we have the law of electricity. When you flip on the light switch, that power just naturally flows to the light, to a heater, whatever it might be. We don't have to call the electrical company up and ask them for the power to be sent. It's always available. And I think it's the same way with the power of God. The power of God is always available to us if we can turn the switch on. Amen? We just need to take the authority granted to us by the electrical company and command the power to flow. You know, people could have been using electricity for thousands of years. Thousands of years. It wasn't the Lord who just recently invented electricity. It's always been here. Amen? It was man's ignorance. It was his lack of specific knowledge that kept him in the dark. It was always there. And I believe the power of God is always ready and willing to meet a need if we can find the law that applies to it. There are principles of faith. Amen? And so I think many wonderful Christians who are sincere and very godly are not receiving healing or anything from God because many of them are ignorant of God's word and of his law. You know, there's this misnomer that says, I'm in Christ, therefore all these promises are just automatically mine. No, every promise in the Bible has a condition, even salvation. You have to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever shall believe shall not perish. The scripture says in Romans chapter 10 that it's with the heart man believes unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so it is really important. We find out what the word says, we come into agreement with the word says, and we continually speak. I love to find, we quote the scripture in Ephesians 5:18. I spend just about every morning in the Psalms. I have a devotional book that I've been reading every year since 1978, I think. The same over and over. Same one. I read it for probably 15, 20 years. And now I mark it. I have squares, dashes, dots, circles. So I know every year that I've read it through. And you know, we learn by repetition, especially when it comes to faith. And I journal, I write things about those Psalms. And it's amazing over the years how they're part of who I am as a person. I learned from Psalms 116 as David was looking at a situation. It was pretty bad. Saul was going to kill him. He was hiding. He was already anointed a king of Israel. And here he is in a cave hiding. You ever feel like that with some of the promises of God? God says one thing, but you look at your situation, it tells you something different. Don't believe your situation. Don't define your self-worth by your past, your frustrations, your divorces, whatever it might be, your failures. Don't do that. We don't have no past. The only past we have tonight is a cross. That's it. That's how I look at my life. I can't change my past, but I can move forward and build something new for my future, for myself and for my family. Hallelujah. You can be ignorant of God's promises and love Jesus. People who are like that are not bad people. They just don't know the law that govern God's kingdom and how it works. I think receiving from God is not about how God feels towards you. These spiritual laws must be activated by faith. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8. It's not on there. Verse 2. I think we do have it. I'm only trying to encourage you tonight. I'm not trying to give you heavy, revy, deep stuff. Just want to encourage you to believe God. I'm believing God for millions of dollars tonight. I've made commitment to India, the nation of India, to help the poor and to help in that orphanage. I don't have the money that I've committed to that ministry this year. But I would tell you at the end of this year, that commitment will be paid. Where's it going to come from? I don't know. How are you going to get it? I don't know. Maybe a dog will come up in front of the church and drop a bag full of money. I don't care. Doesn't make a difference to me. I just know I'm going to receive it. I asked in faith. It's not a selfish thing. I want to help the poor. Those who give to the poor, lend to the Lord. God had put that witness in my spirit. I made a major commitment to them. And you know what? I am confident. See, I remember the loaves. I remember the day that my house was being foreclosed on. I was a young minister. Had two little children. I was doing everything that I knew to do in God. I was living righteously. Nothing was working. And I remember that when I got the letter from the bank saying they were going to foreclose on our house, I'd never been a person who ran to other people and told them, help! I wanted to tell everybody, but me and my wife agreed. We stood in agreement. We did spiritual warfare. We stood in faith, and I said, you know what? If they take this house from us, honey, look, we were pioneering churches. I couldn't even take my children to McDonald's. That's how we had nothing. And at the same time, the Lord had told me to give both my cars away. So now I have no cars. My wife, poor wife, would one day the wash machine broke. My wife borrowed a hand cart. This is true. You have to know my wife. She gets the, by herself, puts the washing machine on a hand cart, pulls it through the whole, half the city where we live, and takes it to a repair shop. So I know the guy who owned the repair shop, and I found out, my wife came and said, I have this type of wash machine, you need to get it repaired. He said, do you have a truck? You want us to send somebody over and get it? She said, oh no, I brought it over myself. You carried it through the city on a cart? You have to know my wife. And so I had to go travel, preach somewhere, and I didn't have the money to pay the insurance on the house. You're supposed to pay because you have loans. It was either that or not buy milk for my kids. Didn't feel like God's man of faith and power. And so I went and did what I did, and my wife, thank God for my wife, she somehow scratched from jars and under the cushions of chairs, enough money, like $25, and went down to a local insurance place and put a deposit on. She said, I don't have the money to pay you the whole thing. He said, we have 30 days. Just give us a deposit. Wouldn't you know that the furnace caught on fire in our house? When she called the insurance company up, they thought, like, this is some kind of con. Nancy said, God told me to do it. I got the money together. My husband didn't even know I did it. You know, I'm just saying, whatever it is, we've had problems, we have circumstances, situations, but through it all, he's been with us. Through it all, we learn to trust in God. Through it all, we stop leaning on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own connections and sources. And God took us through that situation. And so I remember I said to my wife, if they take this house from us, God will give us another house. We prayed. Within a few days, there's a knock at my door. A man's name was Dr. Philippone. Dr. Philippone owned a facility in Ravenna, New York, where he took elderly people, and they lived there. By the way, today, Teen Challenge owns that. So he knocks on my door, and never saw him in my life, never even heard of him. He said, my wife had died about a year ago, and when we first got married, we lived in a house exactly like your house. Can I buy your house? I said, I'm facing bankruptcy. haven't paid my mortgage in 6-7 months. I said, how much do you owe? With taxes, insurance, was probably around $10,000. I'd never met him before. He wrote me a personal check, gave it to me. I went down to the bank, put the cash down. Maybe it's not a big thing to you, but when you're in your 20s, it was a big thing to me. Got everything caught up, end up leading him to Christ. He became a minister. And now the place that he owned, Teen Challenge now owns it. Who would have known 35 years ago that God was working all those little situations out? Was it difficult? Let me tell you what, I was a lot thinner than I am today. That's all I'm going to talk about. In fact, I had a neighbor come over whose brother had killed a pig. Never said a word to anybody. I shared Christ with this family a lot. He said, my brother gave me a huge box of pork. We didn't want to hurt his feelings and tell him we don't eat pork. Do you eat pork? Come here. Yeah, bring it on down. We had it fried, roasted. We ate everything but the squeal, basically, you know. And then the guy felt sorry for us. He knew something was going on. Every few days, he would bring us day-old bread. I was living by faith. I realized I was almost like Elijah. I don't know how appetizing it is to have a bird drop a piece of meat on the ground and say, God has taken care of all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It was a piece of meat chomped on by a bird. You see, if God can get it through you, God will get it to you. He always would do that for you. And by the way, when I sold that house to Dr. Philippone, he said, how much you want? I just arbitrarily doubled the price. He said, that's a good deal. I'll buy from you. It's not a big thing, but I bought the house when I was 23. My father never gave me nothing ever. I asked my father one time my whole life for $1,000 when I got married because I wanted to have a top-of-the-line wedding for me and Nancy. I had $1,000. At that $1,000, I bought 2 rings right here on Central Avenue from Walmart. It used to be a Woolworths. It was $1.98 for each ring. They were plastic, but they look gold. And we have pictures that looks like they're real, but it's just they turn our fingers green. We threw them away. So after I was married 2 weeks, the phone rings. My father, you got my $1,000? I just got married 2 weeks ago. What are you going to pay me? I paid him so quick. And I never asked him for another thing. I thank God that he taught me to believe God, to trust God, not to lean on him. Amen. I'm almost done. Let me read Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Here it goes. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Has made me free. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do. In that it was weak through the flesh. God did. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me just give you these little things. We'll be done. Here's the 5 steps. I have prayed about this. I have looked at it many times. I've been using these 5 steps personally in my own life. These are 5 steps that I believe if you pray about this, if you study this particular story, you'll find these 5 things that she did. The law of faith. Number one, she heard. First thing, it says she heard about Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You got to feed your spirit. Your spirit doesn't like spaghetti. Your spirit likes the word. The word will nourish and feed and embellish and strengthen you. I don't know how it works. I can just tell you, when you hide that word in your heart, you'll find that you don't sin against God. You might not understand it all. You don't have to understand everything. Just put that word in you. When I go overseas tomorrow, I have hundreds of scriptures on cards. I've been looking at this sin card for probably 20 years. When they fall apart, I write a new one with the same scriptures. Got a little ring, and I just slip them. Think about what you remember that. Oh, Pastor Fink, you're just dreaming. Well, don't wake me up. There's something powerful about the word. You got to hear the word. I don't mean just on Sunday morning. You got to become serious about this word. Every Christian should be reading the Bible through, at least have some kind of systematic plan. I have been listening to the book of Romans for 6 months on my tablet. I get up in the morning, and many times if I get up and I lay down with my wife for a few moments, I'll put the book of Romans on, and it just reads Alexander Scorby. I love him. Got the English accent. And I just listen to the book. I can hear him in my head right now. I just listen to it. The scripture I just read to you, I've memorized that whole scriptures just by listening to it. That's a form of meditation. It's just repetition, listening to it over and over and over again. I love the book of Romans. You know, the book of Romans, probably the greatest theological treatise in the New Covenant, only mentions the devil one time. It says, may the God of peace crush the devil under your foot. Let's stop talking about the devil and how the devil's out to get me. Well, get him. And you gotta. He's a dirty fighter. Kick him, bite him, spit in his eye, whatever you gotta do. Take the name of Jesus and enforce Calvary's victory. You have that authority to do that. Don't ask God to do for you what he told you to do for yourself. So number one, she heard the word. She heard about Jesus. She heard the miracles. She heard, number one. And if you're going to receive from God, I don't care if it's for finances, for your children, for your marriage, for whatever it is, you got to hear what the scripture says. You got to find it out. And look, if you don't know, we'll help you. We got books, we got teachings, we got courses. There's stuff on the web. You got to put yourself in the position to hear. Number two, the first thing she did after she heard, it says she said. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, speaking. She said. I find it's really important. I'll tell you something, sometimes to speak into your situation by faith when everything looks bad or you've done it 100 times, it takes faith. It takes faith to continually say the same thing that the word says. You know, there's a difference between the testing of your faith and an attack of Satan. Some people get that confused. God will allow your faith to be tested. But Paul said no temptation. Really, it's the Greek word that means putting to the test. No temptation, no trial can overtake you with that which is common to man. And I know in my own situation, the devil used to make me feel, your situation is unique. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. That's a lie. Any temptation, any problem, any situation, any circumstance you've ever been through, other men of God, other women of God have walked through it victorious, and you can too. He says that with the temptation, if you can't handle it, he'll make a way of escape so you can bear it. God knows when you have had enough. You see, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God has given us this measure of faith, and we need to exercise that faith so we can have world-overcoming faith. She said, why don't you take 30 days and only say what the word says? Stop thinking about your problem and think about the promise. Stop worrying and start worshiping in spite of it. Even in the Old Testament, it took faith. It was Joshua fighting an army hundreds of times larger, and the only thing he had was a jar with a candle and a trumpet. You're going to win. Another time he walked around a city that was so high, they say that 13 chariots could ride abreast on the walls of Jericho. And God said to him, the victory is yours. The battle is not yours. The battle is mine. You know the story. Walk around it 7 times. The seventh day, walk upon it around seven times, and then shout. Who would think just a shout could tear down a wall in a city like that? See, by faith, God used one angel one night to kill 185,000 men, one angel in one night. Moses was in the midst of a great battle. As long as he had his arms held up as surrender to God, the victory was his. A battle was going on with Joshua. It looks like they were going to lose. They needed more daylight. God stopped the sun for 24 hours until he got victory. I mean, whatever you think it's going to take to stop you, the devil will bring it. Stop thinking about what it's going to take to stop you and start thinking about what it will take to push you over and give you victory. By the way, God's made you the head. You're not the tail. Stop acting like the tail. Wag your head. And when you're wagging it, get your tongue moving. She said, I've had people actually say this to me. What happens, Brother Fink, if you don't make it? They want me to get into some kind of rhetorical conversation. What happens if you don't make it? I don't go down that road. I say, what happens if I do? I'm not going to go down that road. I've done that road, and I've talked myself into defeat. You can talk yourself into victory by saying the same thing the scripture says, or you can so concentrate on your circumstance and situation that you talk yourself out of a victory. It's what we do. We are spiritual people. This is not some teaching from the 70s. This is the way the people who are justified by faith and who live by faith act. You know what? Can I tell you right tonight? I know where my marriage is going to be 5 years from now. My marriage is strong. My wife thinks I'm hot. You tell me that doesn't take faith. She said to me recently, honey, the only regret I have about marrying you, the only regret, I should have married you sooner. She is blessed. Some of the most difficult times I've ever gone through has been with my children and my grandchildren. My son, in his most rebellious days, I went into his bedroom. I said, let me tell you something, boy. You think you're going to hell? You're born in the wrong family. He told me in his 30s, that scared him. He still was stupid. In the back of his head, I said it with authority because God gave me that word. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. Forget about all the what ifs. And he said that. I don't know how he's going to work it out. Maybe he's going to send an angel to smack him in the head with a club. I don't know, whatever it's going to take. But let me tell you what. Angels are sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. They hearken unto the command of his word. God lets angels go and sometimes and they mess with people. Just so their life becomes so obviously stupid that they finally, from the bottom of the barrel, look up and say, you know, I've been sitting in this pig pen eating husk. I think maybe I'll go back to my father's house because even the servants eat better than this. I don't know what it's going to take. And if you stop worrying about how God's going to do it and just start praising him and thanking him and saying the same thing the word says about your situation, it will change. She heard, she said, and then she acted. Faith without corresponding actions is nothing but deadness. I believe God can reach the whole world with the gospel. Then get out of your seat, get onto your feet, go into the streets and tell somebody. I always keep tracks with me, always. Always. I'm going to be going to India. I can guarantee you I'm going to be talking to somebody on the plane or in the airport about Jesus. When I leave, they're going to have at least a track in their hand. And you know what? One person waters, one person plants, another waters, but God will give the increase. I've led people to Christ so easy, but I had nothing to do with it. People have been praying for them and sowing seeds into their lives for years. One time I was with my wife in London, no, in Hemiock outside of London, and if I go to a city, I like to walk and pray if I can. I don't do so much in India because when they see me, they want to eat me. They like that white meat over there, you know, anyways. And so I was in England with my wife, and we were walking around the city because I was going to do a crusade, and we were just praying in tongues. And here I am walking by a beauty salon. And I just turned. My wife says, where are you going? I said, I don't know. Let's go. So I go in there, and guess what? There's only one person in there. Guess what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to tell that one person about Jesus. Hello, Biff. And so I went in there. She said, oh, did you like your haircut? I said, well, I'm from New York. Yeah, I had just gotten a haircut. Look, I'm a fuddy. Did you touch my hair? There could be issues. So I let her sit down and touch my hair. And I didn't want her to go too far, so I talked about Jesus. Next thing you know, she's standing there, she starts to cry. I get up and I put her in the seat. And I preach to her. She came to Jesus. And guess what happened? The church I was preaching at the next day, people in that church had been going there and praying for her for over a year, specifically to get saved. So I went and preached the next day. Guess who my guest was? Her. I didn't do nothing. That church had been praying for a year, doing spiritual warfare, binding the devil, came in the Lucid situation, praying for her salvation. I was the one God just used, some American. It cost me about $10. And I didn't like the haircut, but I kept my mouth shut. She heard, she said, she acted. Then it says in verse 29, she received immediately. And then what'd she do, the last one, verse 32? She testified. She told people. The Lord hath done great things for me, whereof I am glad. I cried unto the Lord. He heard me from his holy hill. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. And just, I'm going to close with this tonight. I put a couple of discipleship questions there. If you want to spend some time during the week as a devotional, you can just go a little bit deeper on your own. Amen?